Yeah, looks like they back for a fifth season, man.
Who that?
Sports Roundtable.
Who?
S-R-T crew.
Whoa.
S-R-S-R-S-R-S-R-T. They got that realness flowing in they DNA. Damn you lame if you ain't tuned to S-R-T today. H-O got that payload when he say so. What you betting on? Don't get mad at me on fantasy. Break up Kyrie LeBron. I be smooth as sports superhero Hancock in the mix. Deal with roll tie forever. Real talk, you know who he gon' pick. See where I be with S-R-T. Behind the glass, that G-Money. Man, with a strong, I never lose. Six man elite, that's Jay Smooth.
All you other sports radio shows, it's fake news. Believe it. Turn up your radios, cause it's time for S-R-T Radio.
Yeah.
What up, what up, what up? It's Sports Roundtable, live from the S-R-T Studios, overlooking Atlantic Station. And we're back again up in the penthouse. Thanks for the tenants for tuning in for another great episode of Sports Roundtable with the SRT crew. We are with you each and every Wednesday, 7 o'clock to 9 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time. I am your humble host, H.O. from Bankhead. And, of course, I got the crew in here with me. My guy, well, both of my guys from Memphis. The Grizzlies, and they still, I mean, it's funny how every time we talk, it's Penny getting this person, Penny getting that person.
Yeah.
They rocking and rolling in Memphis. Hancock, what's happening, bro?
What's up, big homie?
Everything good?
Another day here in the penthouse.
There you go.
Hanging out with the tenants.
Yeah.
Hanging out with my crew. What up, crew?
What up?
What up?
What up, G?
Yo.
There it is. And, of course, I got my other guy over here from Memphis, the sixth man of the year. You know I actually voted for you.
I appreciate that. I appreciate that. Too bad I can't actually get the award.
Jay Smooth is in the building.
What up?
What up, Smooth?
What up, Smooth?
Same old, same old. Glad to be back here with the crew again in the penthouse.
Appreciate it. Appreciate it. D. Will is on vacation doing his thing, running them all out. Since G.U.'s already been introduced, I will continue with my routine and say the man behind the glass dropping them beats, G-Money.
Yo.
Once again, yo.
What up, G?
Jay Smooth, you know you got some Facebook admirers.
Really?
They saying, Smooth is in the building. Yeah, Jay Smooth is in the building. We got a hot show for you. The NBA playoffs is here. Some other things in the news. And we got some things to get off the chest tonight. So we got a segment, Get It Off Your Chest. At least I know I do. I got something to get off my chest. So please stay tuned for that. That'll happen around 8:45. We got some hot news coming up here in just a second. Our NBA awards, our SRT Annual NBA Awards. This is our second year doing this, and stay tuned around 7:30 where you can find that and get that information. We got some other news that we got to talk about. Candace Parker and the landlord. I mean, we'll get to it. You know, it's all about that. Kaepernick has made the news again. And we're going to touch on, they named a baby. And we'll let you know what couple did that. And also, we're going to talk about in honor of James Harrison, newly retired. But I think he'll probably be back around week 9, 10 anyway.
Yeah.
your best undrafted NFL player. So we'll get into that also in our second hour of the show. So hang with us. But before we get started, me and Smooth, we're going to play double duty this week. So for all of you men and ladies, but especially you men. Well, no, especially you ladies. Well, both. We have the honor to be on another show this coming Friday, The Forgotten Man with DiCarlo. 6 to 7 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And we will be talking about understanding your man. So not a sports show. You go get the HM3 side of me on Friday. And Smooth will be Jay Smith.
There you go. That's the most.
So you make sure you tune in. It's going to be hot and humid on Friday. In the studio, I may add. So y'all make sure y'all check that out, man. It's an honor and a pleasure. Or as my main man Les Brown say, it's a plum pleasing pleasure to be on the Forgotten Man on Friday. So y'all check that out. Please make sure on 1100. So make sure you tune in same way you tune in to this show. So with all that being said, G, let's go ahead and get into some hot news.
Blazing. Hot, hot, hot. Scorching.
On fire.
Red hot.
This is why I'm hot.
It's the Sports Roundtable Hot News.
Sports Roundtable Hot News, sponsored by our good friends over at the Big Easy Grill. You're looking for the best New Orleans seafood in town, please go over to Big Easy Grill, 1193 Collier Road, Atlanta, Georgia. The best shrimp in town, and it is verified. Me and Smooth were just there the other last week, and never disappoints, I tell you. It is a treat. When it takes two or three bites to get rid of a shrimp, it is good. So that's all I'm going to say. In our hot news, the first story. G, I think I need you to come in on this as well, if you have something to say. But Han, I'm gonna let you go first. The first story, obviously, Dez gets released by the Cowboys. The cap hit was like $16 million, and his salary was what, 12? Thoughts?
Well, I guess I'm kind of torn in a little bit because it's like the end of an era with the Cowboys. It's an honor to have that 88 number out there, so that lets you know what they thought of Dez.
Right.
You know, for him to come in and, you know, wear that honor behind players like Drew Pearson and Michael Irvin, which we talked about earlier. But it was time. I mean, when you look at Dez's career, you know, his most productive years were the years between 2012 and 14, where he averaged about 1,250 yards a year and probably about 13, 14 touchdowns in those years.
Mm.
So you could see a steady decline from that. You know, last year's he had a total in yardage of 838 yards and only 6 touchdowns. Yards per catch wasn't bad. It was 12 yards a catch, which isn't bad for a wide receiver. But I think along with all the baggage and actually the youth movement, I think having him there was kind of retarding what Dak was trying to accomplish. Because I think Dak was probably felt pressure to get him balls more in situations. You know, I can remember a couple of games where he was forced the ball to on 3 successive plays or at least 2 successive plays.
And Dak is the quarterback.
Dak Prescott.
Yeah, just in case folks don't know, Dak Garrett Jones, the quarterback.
Exactly. It was because one of the Garrett clan, I'm sure.
Yeah.
But I think it was just time. And for them to have the courage to not, you know, to move on from it. And you can see this starting to happen more with Stephen Jones taking the reins. Because Jerry was pretty much a field guy and that guy that was loyal to the players.
Right.
And this is what we talk about a lot of times, where owners can't have that kind of relationship with their players because they need to make these type of decisions. You know, we looked at Mike Vick being pushed into the Georgia Dome back in the day by Arthur Blank.
In the wheelchair.
And all that flack, exactly, you know, pushed him in there in the wheelchair. And you kind of get a family feel that you shouldn't have with your players, because all it can do is stunt your organization, because you won't make the changes you need to make.
But
so in that respect, you know, it's good that Stephen Jones is kind of taking in, because remember, even this is not really the same issue, but Jerry Jones was wanting to take Johnny Manziel, and he was talked into taking Zach Martin, and that started to build this offensive line, which has really propelled him into a nice offense again. So those type of decisions that they're making now are football decisions, and not, you know, let's just be happy to keep him around just because he's a Cowboy.
Right.
So I just think it was time. Dez has lost a step. When you're the number one receiver, you have to at least be able to get down the field, and they have to honor your deep speed, I think.
They said on Facebook, fade, stop, and that's it.
Yeah, I mean, that's all he can do is pretty much battle. If, you know, maybe we saw what happened with Larry Fitzgerald when they moved him into the slot.
Right.
You know, he lost a step or whatever, but he was able to use his size, and then the offenses they were using, he was still productive.
Right.
But I don't know if Dez is that type of guy. You know, plus, like I said, it's different offenses. Zeke needs room to run, so you need somebody to take the top off the defense, meaning make the safeties honor that.
Right.
And I don't think Dez could do that anymore.
All right, G, you have anything on Dez being released?
I agree that it was time, and you know, he can't get open anymore, and you know, and combine that with him not, maybe he was. It didn't seem like he was willing to take a pay cut, and I think he said he was willing to take a pay cut, and that he's blaming, you know, he's blaming all of Garrett's guys. You know, I didn't want to believe that there was any kind of attitude problem, that I felt like the media was pushing that kind of narrative.
Right.
Because no one else on the team, it didn't seem like anybody else on the team that had that kind of problem. So it was just time for it to... It was time for it to go.
Right.
You have another quarterback in there, and it wasn't working out. So, time to move on.
Time to move on. Okay. Story number two. Smooth. Braun and the Cavs took an L in game one. And it was a pretty decisive L.
Yeah, I agree.
And when you look at the starting lineup for Indiana, and then I'm like, how did they beat Cleveland like that?
Right.
Are you concerned with the Cavs?
Yeah, absolutely I'm concerned. And reason being, looking back at the regular season, the Pacers actually took 3 out of 4 games from Cleveland. And I guess that's an overlooked fact. And even though it's the regular season, I think you have to consider it when you look at these playoff matchups. The Pacers, they were the more aggressive, the more physical team.
Right.
They came prepared to play. And one of my biggest problems with Cleveland is right now is probably Tyronn Lue. He played 12 guys in game one compared to Nate McMillan's, the Pacers coach. He only played 9 guys. And when you're playing so many guys, it suggests that there's a trust factor somewhere. Tyronn Lue doesn't trust half of the guys on his bench, so he's searching for the right combinations. And maybe it was the week that he took off. I don't know what it was. Taking a week off, you know, in, what was it, March or April, whatever it was.
It was in...
I think it was March.
Yeah, late March.
But maybe that took away from his playoff preparation. You would think by the time you get to April, you would know what 8 or 9 guys you want to play.
I agree.
The Cleveland, their starters... LeBron had 24, but the rest of the starters had 25 points combined.
Wow.
Kevin Love, Rodney Hood, George Hill, Jeff Green. If you're Kevin Love, you can't shoot the ball 8 times. You're an all-star. I mean, I think he had double-digit rebounds, but if you're supposed to be Cleveland's second-best player, act like it.
Right.
Cleveland, they just showed up. They were completely unprepared. Pacers led by 21 in the first half, and they never looked back. And so... If you're Cleveland, if I'm a Cleveland fan, I'm concerned.
Concerned.
Yeah, they could very well lose the series, and if they do, I won't be shocked.
Do you think that they played too much of? You said basically hitting at Tyronn Lue hasn't really set his playoff rotation.
Right.
Do you think he's playing too much of the new guys? Like, it's more important to play them rather than playing them. What got you here was by playing JR, was by playing Tristan Thompson, even though I personally still think he's useless.
I agree.
But, you know, it, at least put him out there and bring the other guys off the bench, or just like kind of like, you know, split the difference in getting everyone to more minutes and maybe have a deeper rotation.
J.R. Smith, he did play well. He did have double figures, and, you know, that could be the answer. But I think they definitely have to be more aggressive, and LeBron has to come out from minute one and do exactly what he does. LeBron is going to have no less than 30 to 40 point games for them to win this series. And you see what happened when he scored less than 30. And
yeah, triple-double. And right. It didn't matter.
It's just not enough. So
it was useless.
Right. You don't know who's going to show up for Cleveland on what night. They just look scared to me, to be honest. They look completely out of their element, unprepared. And Tyronn Lue, we need to, you know, talk about moving him out. Or maybe it's just a lack of talent.
Well, they coming out on fire now. 6-0. 6-0 in Cleveland in the first quarter. They just started at 7 o'clock. So maybe they listened to the show, you know, and figured out that they're going to have to come out.
They have to.
Because it was 20-8 last week in Indiana when they first started.
Yeah.
So we'll see. We're going to get more into some playoffs breakdown in our second hour. All right, G. Story number three. And I'm going to talk more about this when it's time to get it off my chest. But Coach Bud, dare I say former Hawks coach, future former Hawks coach, is meeting with the Cleveland – I'm talking about Cleveland – the Phoenix Suns. And this is the second day they haven't offered anything. But your thoughts on Coach Bud – possibly leaving for the Suns if he does.
Well, the different reasons behind it make sense. He is from Arizona, and he's looking to go into a situation in which I guess he would have more input as the coach, as far as putting the team together.
Right.
Because whatever Schlink is doing, Bud's not really here for that,
right?
You know, if they're getting rid of players, if they're trying to shed salary, they just want to gather assets, trying to doing basically what Boston did,
right?
Then it doesn't it's probably something that Coach Bud isn't really here for, so it makes sense. I thought it was a possibility that he was getting what I call the big kahuna job, right, which is the coach and president. That doesn't seem to be the case, but it does seem to be a better situation for him. And with the Hawks actually giving permission, I think they're ready to part ways with him.
Right.
One thing, I think in the past, Bud, he held both positions. He was the president and head coach, and he's shown an inability to handle
both.
Yeah, both positions. So, and I know G said he probably wants more input.
Yeah, and at least, you know, be in the meeting.
He wants more talent.
Yeah.
Well, he was in charge of that.
Yeah,
And then so him and Aaron Rodgers ate dinner together.
Yeah. Basically. Have to.
More input, huh?
Yeah.
All right, story number four, Hancock. I'm pretty sure you are familiar with this and probably close to the vest, but use your Memphis and your Penny Hardaway emotions on this particular story. But FSU quarterback
DeAndre Francois
has been caught up in a situation.
Yeah, it's some sketchiness going on what happened and, you know, what was found in his apartment and who told on him.
Right.
You know, he's been dealing with a young lady who's kind of put him through some things. But as far as his other charges or whatever, I guess he's on his way to FAU. He'll be down there somewhere with Kiffin.
Lane Kiffin.
Yeah. I mean, with what happened with the freshman, do you remember the freshman that came? I can't think of his name. Who ended the year after Francois got hurt.
Blackman?
Yeah. With the way he played, I'm pretty sure that Willie Taggart is not going to, you know, risk a season with a quarterback that can't seem to stay out of trouble.
Right.
You know, this isn't the first run in, and it seems like, I like Francois. I thought he had a future He was a future NFL prospect, to be honest. But with the off-the-court things that are going on, and, you know, I don't know if not being able to play last year had a lot to do with it. Just, you know, it's a bad situation for it to be caught up in stuff where he was coming back, be coming off a knee injury, and hopefully, you know, could get his career back online.
Right.
But like I said, with the ascension of what Blackman did to show that he can move the team and probably be that next quarterback in line, I'm sure, and Tiger coming in, everything's on an even playing field.
Right.
So he might have, you know, right now they say Tiger is standing by.
Right.
But that's before everything really comes out and whatever legal issues that he might be facing. So we'll see. You know, I think even the young lady said he had a bogus domestic violence thing with him or something, right, from what I understand. But still, it's just too much going on, and I'm sure Willie Taggart wants to come in without all the drama.
Right.
He wants to come in and establish the program on a steady foundation. And if your quarterback, who's the leader of your team, can't really provide that, it might be time to move on and try to, you know, establish that with Black.
Yeah.
I would say if anybody who read the story, first thing you should take away is be careful who you let in your house. So, according to reports, the Orlando Sentinel, someone walked in Francois' apartment.
Uh-huh.
And tipped off the police saying that he had a couple grocery bags of marijuana, which the police suggested that, or estimated that, it might be up to 2 pounds of marijuana. So they had him under surveillance for 2 months, and they ran random raids, and they went through his garbage, and they found, you know, plastic bags with cannabis residue and this and that. And if you're Francois, you're coming off an injury, you know, you want to keep a low profile, and this doesn't help at all. Like, the word is now that you're a drug dealer. Like, you're the campus drug dealer. You're supposedly the starting quarterback, but you double as a drug dealer. So if you're Willie Taggart, I think this is the beginning of the end for Francois. He was in charge. I think they sent him to some type of class. What was it?
Horticulture.
Yeah. It's some kind of I had it in my notes, I can't find it, but he was sent to some type of class, and I think they ruled it as a misdemeanor. So he won't face any serious charges, but it's definitely a strike against his record.
It's a diversion class.
Diversion. Class. Okay.
Yeah, they diverting away from the NCAA.
Yeah.
Lane Kiffin, here I come.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not looking good.
Gee, you got any thoughts? I know Florida State's your team too, so is,
man,
it?
I guess desperate times call for desperate measures. You know, he had a torn up kneecap or whatever the injury actually was.
Right.
He had to get some. He was broke.
Yeah,
he was broke.
Yeah, and if he's really serious about doing it, just go ahead and drop out and move to Colorado.
A recovery method.
Something like that.
Yeah. Shout out to all the people on Facebook. Shout out Marty Dez. I think they was coming as well. I think Marty said Dez can resurface if he gets with a veteran quarterback.
Yeah, I don't know, man. You know, you're talking about a big contract that he's looking for, and he's really a second wide receiver now.
Yeah.
But, you know, people go down, injuries happen. You know, so, but one thing that happened that hurt Dez is that the Cowboys didn't release him until late.
Right.
And he wasn't allowed. A lot of the free agents like Sammy Watkins and, you know,
Allen Hurn,
all these people signed with different franchises. So a lot of the money is dried up.
Some of the teams that I've heard that he may go to, the Bills,
yeah.
Ravens.
I heard Ravens is the number one, is what I heard.
Packers.
Nah, they ain't happening. I can't see that.
They need a receiver.
Can you see him playing
with Aaron Rodgers?
Yeah.
It's possible. I mean, he's that veteran quarterback. Why not get, like, the best one who kind of needs a receiver?
I don't see Dez in Green.
You don't see Dez in Green.
And it's also the, I've heard the Saints as well. As
I didn't
a possibility.
Hear that. That's a new one on
there. Yeah, that's a
that
new one too.
But I did hear the Ravens to me is the one that I heard had the inside track.
Okay. All right, man, let's go wrap up our hot news. When we come back, of course, we got to take a quick break. We got our SRT, second annual SRT NBA Awards coming up next. I can't wait, and I'm pretty sure you can't either, to wait to see who was the MVP voted by the SRT crew. You're listening to the SRT Crew Sports Roundtable on the Real 1100.
We'll be back with more Sports Roundtable on the Real 1100 AM.
What's up? This your man, D-Will the Coach, here on behalf of Real Talk Tees. Real Talk Tees is for the players, geniuses, and bosses. For those who hustle, for the fresh, and for the iconic. Real Talk Tees is urban, affordable, vintage t-shirts to help you express yourself. So visit realtalktees.bigcartel.com to order yours today. So how about this? You got a specific mood in mind? Custom orders are available also to help you and yours stand out. So visit realtalktees.bigcartel.com, where what's real lasts forever.
Are you looking for a new, pre-owned, or used car to get you around the city or simply from point A to point B? Look no further. Jay's Used Cars is the place to be. Jay believes your job is your credit, and no matter what your situation is, Jay will get you in a car. Visit Jay's at 3820 Lawrenceville Highway in Tucker and mention Sports Roundtable, get a 10% discount. Go to jaysusedcars.com to check out the inventory. Jay's Used Cars, where they stack them deep and sell them cheap.
Sports Roundtable. I saw a thing today where he was picking up everything in the weight room. And when I say everything, everything in the weight room. The
entire
room.
All at one time.
So that's why G say, man, I'm not finna tell him that.
If he get
send
a,
him a text message.
If he get a shot on Brady.
You mean Ben?
I mean on Ben. He might hit Brady too. He might lose his mind.
Only on WWE, The Real 1100 AM.
All right, welcome back to Sports Roundtable on the Real 1100 AM. And we are back with our second annual SRT NBA Awards, affectionately known as the Tennies.
The Tennies.
Hey.
All right, so as again, our esteemed SRT NBA panel voted on awards. I gave them each nominees. And we're going to announce the winners of those awards. All right. So first, we're going to go with the Coach of the Year. All right. The Coach of the Year. Our nominees this year were Dwayne Casey of the Toronto Raptors, Mike D'Antoni of the Houston Rockets, Quinn Snyder of the Utah Jazz, and Brad Stevens of the Boston Celtics. So our winner is... Quinn Snyder of the Utah Jazz.
Whoa. Woo. Quinn Snyder.
Well deserved.
Hey, can't beat that.
All right, so go to one of our voters for Quinn Snyder, and that would be Jay Smooth. So, Jay, what made you choose Quinn Snyder for this award?
He went to Duke. No, I'm just
saying. Hey, there you go. What the Utah Jazz have done this year was... in my mind, completely unexpected. For them to win nearly 50 games,
yep,
is, well, I wouldn't call it unprecedented, but like I said, it's a shock to me. Donovan Mitchell played a part in that, and under Quinn Snyder's tutelage or coaching, you know, he's turned this kid into what I expect to be a Hall of Fame player. They were missing Rudy Gobert for
26 games,
and he who was my defensive player of the year when he was on the court, he was the difference. He made the difference for them. And they were also one of the better defensive teams in the league. He knew he was working with limited talent, but he managed to get the most out of Donovan Mitchell, Rudy Gobert, and Ricky Rubio. He actually looks serviceable now.
He grew his hair.
Yeah. He did. I think Rodney Hood, even with the loss of Rodney Hood, they were able to bring in Jay Crowder. And was Shumpert there? Iman Shumpert?
No, he got traded to the Kings.
The Kings. Yeah.
He actually hasn't played. He didn't play a game. Yeah.
Wow. Well, he's on TV now, so it doesn't matter.
Right. With that IG model.
Right. No, Tiana. Yeah. But
I'm talking about his extracurricular.
Uh-oh.
That's what his former teammate is doing.
Yeah. But yeah, Quinn Snyder has done an amazing job. And Utah, they did benefit from key injuries throughout the Western Conference. But you still can't overlook what he has done with Utah.
Oh, absolutely. I agree. Well-deserved, Quinn Snyder. Yes, sir.
All right, so our next award is the Most Improved Player Award. All right, look at our nominees here. We have Jaylen Brown of the Boston Celtics, Clint Capella from the Houston Rockets, Spencer Dinwiddie of the Brooklyn Nets, and Victor Oladipo of the Indiana Pacers. And our winner is, by unanimous vote, Victor Oladipo.
Wow.
Well deserved.
Yeah.
Doubt.
Well deserved.
So I'll go to you, HO. What made Victor Oladipo the most improved player to you?
Indiana probably are not supposed to be in the playoffs when you look at the beginning of the season. Oladipo averaged, 22 points a game this year,
23
points a game. When he got traded to OKC last year and played, he never got his rhythm. He looked lost. It just didn't look right. I mean, if he was that good, why would you get rid of him? He went, got traded to Indiana, worked out this summer, got his body right, and here again, we talked about at least Hancock's and us talk about how the development of these guys coming out of school, if you give them a couple of years, get in the right system, the coach believe in them, and Nate McMillan obviously believed in them. He turned it up, and he had an outstanding season. Don't be surprised if Oladipo actually gets some MVP votes as well.
Right. But can we also say that, and this might sound, playing with Russ is hard. It just really is. Playing with Russell Westbrook can cloud a lot of what you do. And that might be a more simple way of saying it. But I think it was a twofold thing with him, because I think he learned how to be a lead guy under Russ.
Right.
I think watching Russ, Russ does, on his report card, like I told you, under conduct, does not play well with others.
Right.
So that's just what it is. But I'm sure he was able to understand the game a little more, knowing when to take over. And you could see him being more assertive here in Indiana is what they needed.
Right.
So I think it was twofold. I think it's like he went to school and learned under somebody how to be a lead guy.
And got traded. And then exploded. So.
All right. So our next award is the Rookie of the Year. And our nominees are Kyle Kuzma of the LA Lakers, Donovan Mitchell of the Utah Jazz, Ben Simmons of the Philadelphia 76ers, and Jason Tatum of the Boston Celtics. And the winner is Donovan Mitchell of the Utah Jazz.
Wow.
Yeah.
What was the split?
The split was 3-2.
Okay.
That's
closer than I thought it was.
Yeah.
So he did not vote for Donovan Mitchell, but I'm going to go to Hancock on this one.
Yeah.
What gave Ben Simmons the edge to you over Donovan Mitchell?
I just think that what he does in a basketball game can't be quantified by just saying those points, him scoring a bunch of points. He actually controls tempo. He plays defense on that end. If you watch him, though, he just puts his whole imprint on the game. I think Ben Simmons is the closest thing we've seen to Magic Johnson coming to the NBA.
I agree.
And that might be a little biased for me, because Magic is my favorite basketball player of all time.
Am I?
But I just, watching the way he's able to dictate in the game on the break, he can set up and post. The one thing he doesn't do well is shoot, but he knows that. So he plays to his strengths, which is what you want a basketball player to do. Anything that I say might be, you know, might sound like I'm hating on Mitchell. And so it's not that I even want to say anything about him, because I think Donovan Mitchell had an outstanding year. But when I look at it and I start my franchise, I'm starting with a guy like Ben Simmons. Ben Mitchell would be good too. But Ben Simmons, I think, is to me what he's done. See, what we always hear is, well, Donovan Mitchell came in as a rookie and took this team over and whatever. Well, the Sixers last year without Ben Simmons didn't win 50 games.
Right.
Yeah.
So he's playing this year and they won 50 games with basically the same roster. Yeah. You know, so, you know, that's my point. I think he is legit rookie of the year. I think a lot of times it starts to be the narrative. Some negative things come out about he shouldn't, you know, the way he acted in college, that he didn't want to be there. And then being hurt last year, somebody says, well, he's not a rookie. Well, a lot of people weren't, you know, were in conversations for rookie of the year that weren't in their first year being a pro. We've had that before.
And, right. And they've won.
They've won.
David Robinson, Blake Griffin.
So why is it now just because Ben Simmons is, it's almost like it's a, I almost feel like it's like a landslide, like it's just mounted against him because, and this is another thing, the process, I think, hurts Philly as an organization because people say, well, that's cheap. They tank to get these players. And now, so I think it's a backlash that's starting to happen with them.
Right.
I think anytime something becomes popular, the next thing to do is tear it down. So in that respect, but still, to me, Ben Simmons, to me, was my rookie of the year.
Okay. Well, that's, I kind of see what you're saying because it, well, it, no one was saying anything when Michael Carter Williams won rookie of the year. That was part of the process.
Right, yeah.
Wait, completely different player.
Yeah.
He's talking Hall of Famer and.
Yeah. Is he even in the league anymore?
Who knows?
He plays for the. Either plays for the.
Decatur
the Hornets.
Decatur.
I think he plays for the Hornets, but he's like the eighth, ninth guy off the bench.
Exactly.
All right, so we're going to go over to the. Sixth Man Award, also known as the J. Smoove Award. Our nominees are Will Barton of the Denver Nuggets, Eric Gordon of the Houston Rockets, Fred VanVleet of the Toronto Raptors, and Lou Williams of the L.A. Clippers. And the winner is unanimously Lou Williams.
Absolutely. Absolutely deserved. Absolutely. Can't go wrong.
I'll come right back to you, Hancock. What gave Lou Williams the award to you?
I think he was in the running last year. I thought he possibly should have won it last year. He can definitely do what a six man needs to do. This is what we always talk about. I want a guy that when he comes off that bench, his goal and his role is to score.
Yes.
And that's what he is, a professional scorer. He automatically comes in against second units, and there it is, Mercy.
Right.
Because he has starter talent. So finding that niche to play the way he plays and put the ball in the basket for teams is a big thing. It impacts the game. He can turn a game. And I think him coming to and doing what he did with the Clippers actually had them playing pretty good basketball this year. So, you know, which is one of Doc's best jobs of coaching, to be honest with you. But I just think that seeing what I saw out of Lou this year, I just don't think he could be denied the Sixth Man of the Year award.
I think it would be his second.
Yep.
If he, you know, won the real one, it would be his second.
What you mean
one.
Real?
The other real one. Sorry,
the other real,
the other real one. All right, so we're gonna go to our Defensive Player of the Year. Our nominees this year are Anthony Davis of the New Orleans Pelicans, Rudy Gobert of the Utah Jazz, Draymond Green of the Golden State Warriors, and Victor Oladipo of the Indiana Pacers. And our winner is Rudy Gobert of the Utah Jazz. All right, so H.O., you voted for Rudy Gobert, and what gave him the edge to you?
Well, this year was, it really wasn't a clear-cut favorite to me. But when you look at him in the lineup, their defense efficiency drops down to 12th. With him in the lineup, they between 1 and 3. I mean, when there is no clear-cut favorite, you got to go to how does a person affect the game. And I guess I went a little analytics with this decision, but Rudy Gobert defensively has basically changed how Utah actually plays, and it gives them a lot of defense, and it also gives them an opportunity to perform on offense. So with Mitchell anchoring the offense and Rudy Gobert anchoring the defense, I think it was kind of like a perfect storm. I know he missed 26 games, but a lot of I think AD missed some games. I don't know if Oladipo missed any games, but Rudy Gobert to me efficiently was the best defender in the league this year as far as efficiency is concerned.
All right, and we're going to go to our final award. The one that everyone's been waiting for, the Most Valuable Player Award. And our nominees this year are Anthony Davis of the New Orleans Pelicans, James Harden of the Houston Rockets, LeBron James of the Cleveland Cavaliers, and Damian Lillard of the Portland Trailblazers. And the winner is, in a 3-2 vote, James Harden.
Wow.
Ooh. Close.
Close.
Wow. It was very... Well, of course, very, very close. So I'll start with you, Jay Smoove. You voted for James Harden. What gave him the edge over, well, the other two votes went to LeBron, of course. So what gave him the edge over LeBron to you?
In fairness to LeBron, if I could have split my first place vote, I would have, because I think both candidates are very deserving. But to make a case for James Harden, I know this is not a team award, but and James Harden's numbers, to be honest, were actually better last year. But I think the addition of Chris Paul sort of siphoned some of his assist numbers, the rebounds, and you saw it in the end results. He only played 72 games, which were 10 less than LeBron. If you add an additional 10 games, he would have outscored LeBron. But one thing that sort of tipped me in Harden's favor was his 60-point triple-double against... Just had it right here. I can't remember who it was. Orlando. They're pretty horrible, so a lot of people could have done that. But I think what it says is that if James Harden didn't have Chris Paul, he would have had similar numbers or identical numbers to LeBron James, or probably even better.
Right.
And I think I can't overlook the fact that Kyrie Irving, his absence, in a way, it boosted LeBron's numbers. LeBron had to do everything. Everything was put on his shoulders, on his back this year, which resulted in the boost in numbers for LeBron. And the addition of Chris Paul took away from what James Harden would have possibly done. He's been the best player on the best team in basketball in a deeper Western Conference. The West had 10 teams with winning records compared to 8 teams in the East with a winning record. So James Harden was the best team on the best conference. He led the league in points, three-pointers made. There was another one. He was top 10 in a lot of categories like player efficiency and even assist. So that's my reasoning for James Harden. I can't overlook the fact that, well, maybe I should say that I think out of the two of the last 3 years, I think he should have won it. And a lot of that played into my decision, even though it's this year.
So it's like a makeup call.
Yeah, for me, yeah.
Me too. He should have won it last year, my opinion.
Yeah.
All right. As far as selecting Harden, what gave him the edge?
Well, I mean, a lot of what Smoove said, but simply, I thought he should have won it last year. I mean, if you voted for Russ for winning the triple-double or getting the triple-double, well, he did it again this year, and he's not even in the top three. You know, so... My thing is, and Harden did all this last year without Paul, and this year I just think that you would think that there would be some kind of chemistry issues that would have made them not win as many games. But to win, to be number one in the West.
10 more games.
To be number one in the West with the teams out in the West. And it showed itself the other night in the playoffs, in the first game, where I think they shot 4 for 26 for three or something. Yeah. It was horrible.
Yeah.
But James Harden put the team on his back and ended up with 4 to 4 points. And, you know, that's basically what he's been doing all season. So, hey, Harden. Not that he's better than LeBron, but this year he's the most valuable player.
All right, do we have time to ask one more question?
Yeah.
All right, I got to ask Hancock, because he did vote for LeBron. And what gave LeBron the edge to you for MVP?
Okay, his coach is bad. His coach left. They've redone the team twice this year. His second best player is gone. Now, a lot of this is his doing. Don't get me wrong. But there's not an NBA player in this league that can go and take this roster in this situation that LeBron took this year and only be one less game behind what he did last year. If you watch the games, LeBron is scoring, he's defending, he's assisting, he does everything for this team to be competitive. It's no doubt about it. You know, if you take LeBron off this team, then they might not make the playoffs.
Oh, of course not.
So I can't understand how the best player in the league, who does everything, his stats, his stats are better than Harden's across the board except for scoring. And his team is in the playoffs. It's not like they didn't make the playoffs. They made the playoffs. I just don't see. To me, it's just like when Jordan was in the league. It's just like now. It gets to be where we can't give it to him every time.
Right.
And it's like you said, it's a career achievement award. You know, people feel that, some people feel Harden should have won the first year Steph won it. Then people feel like he should have won it last year over Russ. So this is kind of like a career achievement award. He's got his now. Well, he doesn't have his. He has a tenny.
Right.
But and he probably will win, you know, the NBA MVP. But to me, without question, LeBron James is the most valuable player in the NBA. And this is coming from a guy that, you know, I talk about LeBron's shortcomings all the time.
Right.
But so it's not that I'm a homer for LeBron in any way, but I just feel like he is the legit MVP of this league.
Yeah, he is deserving, but I think you hit the nail on the head. There is some voter fatigue. I mean, the guy has won it four times, and, you know, me personally, I just want to see someone else win.
But the last one was five years ago.
Yeah.
Now, he shouldn't have won the year Steph won the unanimous to me. I don't think he should have won.
Makeup call.
Yeah, so, but, I mean, you can make a case if you look at what he does and how he plays every year, he could have been an MVP.
Fear the beard.
Yeah, yeah.
Fear the beard.
Fear the beard.
Fear the beard.
All right, that'll do it for our SRT NBA Awards, also known as the Tennies. And
next year we're going to put on ties and tucks.
Yeah. Well, at least, I would say we could dress like they do at the NBA Awards, but not like Draymond did.
Right.
At least not that.
Exactly. I appreciate that, G. We got some other news that we definitely got to talk about. One being that Colin Kaepernick and Adidas said that they would sign him if a team signs him. I mean, you know, that's like, you know, I guess we'll sign him too if a team signs him.
Yeah, right. Now, if you're Adidas, what do you have to gain by coming out and saying that? To me, it just says that you're complicit. Like, you agree with the NFL's decision all along, but if they say it's okay, we'll go ahead and
he's got to be doing something, though. That's why I think it's fair to, like, okay, if somebody signs you, I mean, I think it's fair for them to be behind him, but he has to be representing something. Like, you know, they Adidas and these shoe companies have signed entertainers. They've Thank signed you. Rappers because that's what they're doing. So he has to be doing something. Like, charity work doesn't get you a shoe, unfortunately.
I guarantee you they'll say
it. Exactly.
They'll say it because of what he
stands
for.
And this might be a feeling.
Yeah,
it could
be.
What kind of response they get, you know, what kind of groundswell they get from the public. You know, it might just be a feeling to see, okay, well, I wonder what people buy this shoe.
The Kaepernicks.
Yeah. So, I mean, hey, just sit down.
Exactly.
The Neils. As long as they don't look like those Steph Curry.
Hey.
Those Curry ones.
Hospital shoes.
Yeah. That was the worst shoe I've seen in my life.
I don't know what Steph, but
I guess he didn't have no input.
Oh, no.
And speaking of input,
they paid him enough, though.
I know. Yeah. Speaking of input, A-Rod, Aaron Rodgers, feel like he's not giving enough input to the organization about some of the moves that they are making, letting go Jordan Nelson and Alex Van Pelt, which is his close friend. Does he have a point?
Well, I mean, I think when you reach a certain status, and he has that status, you know, he is the top player in that organization. He puts up numbers every year. He has to have some kind of input. I think you do need to at least try to find it. If he's going to be what you have for the next 8 years or so, which he probably will play, I think you would want to make him as comfortable as possible and put pieces around him to give him a chance to win. And he sees, you know, he's going to have great numbers, but he has one Super Bowl.
Yep.
You know, Brady has five. You know, Ben has, two or three? Two?
Ben has two.
You know, so he looks at these guys and said, well, you know, I might go down in history as being one of the greats, but I don't have the hardware.
Right.
And it's all about, we all know, it's about the ring. You know, even Barkley, look at Charles. Charles can sit there and talk, and he's revered and all that, but he's not a champion.
Shaq lets him know every chance
he
gets.
Exactly. So, you know, and even though, like I said, he is a champion, there's a difference when you do it again.
Yeah.
Eli got two. And he's head and shoulders better than Eli Manning, but Eli has two.
Yeah.
So you can understand, I think, his frustration and want to have more input on how we're doing with this organization. We need to go this in this way.
Right.
And then you release guys that he feels like he could still win with.
Now, I agree.
We talked about the organization. Organizations have to do what they have to do. If they feel like this move is the best thing, then they did it. So you have to say, okay.
Yep. Tristan Kardashian, what's his name?
You said it right.
Tristan Kardashian.
Tristan Kardashian. Yeah. Named the baby True.
I like that.
That's what they named the baby?
Yeah, True Thompson.
Is it Thompson?
Yeah, True Thompson.
Wow, she apparently, named Thompson?
Well, for now.
Are you serious?
For now, yeah.
True.
Yeah. Thompson, though.
Yeah, for now.
Wow. I didn't know
You
that.
Surprised?
Yeah.
You surprised?
I thought it would be Kardashian.
But True Kardashian doesn't have the same ring.
But maybe the mama went around.
Yeah. And it's
the grandmama.
Should have been Simpson. That's her daddy's name. Allegedly.
Maybe that's the middle name. We just don't know yet.
The truth is, she's a Simpson.
The G League increased their salary to $35,000 for 5 months. $7,000 a month. Not bad.
Hey, I'll take it.
Would that influence more kids to go G League instead of college?
Probably.
Smooth?
I think so. I think $35,000 is a, I wouldn't call it significant, but
I mean,
there's a lot of jobs out here that's paying that exact same thing. So
and you're not doing what you love.
Yeah. Exactly.
go make the 35, play basketball, and have a shot to go to the big time.
Right.
Instead of going to college and wasting a year, because you can pick up good habits. You understand some things. College life is not bad, but it's not for everybody.
Right.
So at least this provides another avenue to get to your goals.
You
I like it.
You won't have to sell weed.
Exactly.
Indiana has it down to 6.
All right.
33-39.
All right, so I got to ask this question before we end the first hour. This was an email sent to me. Which is the worst? Which call do they need to fix in the worst way?
In what sport?
The traveling in the NBA.
Oh, I'm sorry, I should let you finish.
Or the catch in NFL?
Traveling in the NBA for me. Look, we had the Eurostep come in. And now James Harden is moonwalking.
Yeah.
He's catching the ball, stopping and hopping. Where they do that at?
Yeah.
And they call it a step back.
Yeah.
That's Michael Jackson, baby.
Moonwalk.
I mean, it's the step back is a trip right now. They're just blatantly just walking. I mean, it's not even, it's ridiculous. Remember when I tell you nobody is prepared to play NBA basketball? Because he can do it, but if somebody else do it, they might call it. I mean, it's just crazy, man.
What about the free throw that they shot the other night that they thought was
the first free throw?
Thought it was the first free throw.
Yeah.
He took 4 steps and then threw it to a player.
The refs didn't know it was the second free throw either. That's all it had to be.
Yeah. I mean, what in the world?
Just winging it.
Yeah.
Wow.
I don't know, man. I don't know.
Smooth, what you think?
I think it's the catch rule in the NFL.
It affects the game more.
It does. It does. I mean,
in the travel does.
It doesn't because they don't call it. I mean, that's probably the most overlooked call in all of sports. But
I just don't understand how you let a man start with both feet in front of the 3-point line. He doesn't take a dribble. He step behind the line. You still give him a 3. Ain't nowhere in the world you're supposed to be. I don't know. Maybe that don't affect the
But
game.
You're right. And so when they do call travel, you're really shocked when they do call it. When they actually call it.
Hey, so the question is, they say who walked more, LeBron or Harden?
Until this year, LeBron. But Harden got him this year. Yeah. Harden looked like he on Dance Fever, man. He playing twist.
When LeBron,
right foot red. He all over the place.
When LeBron walks, it's almost like a brain fart because it's like he'll travel getting the ball like on the inbounds pass going up court. Yeah. He'll take 4 steps and then start dribbling. But with Harden, he'll like take a dribble, he'll go forward, and then he'll step back, and then he'll step back again behind the 3-point line, and that's not called.
Not called.
Because you get the like the step back is a move because you get like that gather step, like when you take a layup, you get that going backwards to take a jumper. But he does it twice, all the time, and it's not called.
You can't get away with that in the red. No, somebody going to the cup. I'm going to the
somebody
car. Somebody going
Hold
to
on.
The car.
But Hard takes a step back
and
a sidestep.
That's the one up there.
That's why you tag.
It's like he moving like a knight in chess. Yeah.
That L.
He moving like a knight. It's ridiculous, man.
Boy, you all the same.
Says a big dance routine.
Yeah. All
right, MB says that he's tired of being baby after losing game 2. Thoughts, real quick.
Look, man, you barely played the first 2 seasons. So they're taking certain precautions for, you know, for obvious reasons. You have a history of injury, of being injury prone. So we don't know what's going to happen with your eye. We don't want you to get slapped in the face again. We don't want that to happen. So, but I think they might need him. I don't know if Flash can do that. I don't know if Dwayne Wade can duplicate what he did the other night. But They might need him.
They might need him.
Yeah.
But he got his money, so, I mean, I don't know why he
tried. Yeah. I just think you have a chance to go up 2-0 on Miami at home. If he was able to play, you should have played. Because you needed to make sure you went up 2-0.
2-0.
And now you're headed back to Miami with them having momentum. You know, I've seen he's been out long enough. I think he could have been cleared to play.
Right. But he's doubtful for game three, right. Per report.
I think what happened was I think what happened was they felt like, well, we handled them so well in the first game.
Yeah.
That they felt like, well, we can win another one at home, even if we go back in Miami and lose.
Exactly.
And you have a lot of players on that team who have not played significant basketball, what I mean is they haven't played in the playoffs, except for JJ Redick and Bellinelli.
Right.
But if it becomes a longer series, how do the players respond in each game?
Right.
So the best thing that you can do if you have a lot of inexperienced players is make sure you have all your best players. And they don't have them yet. So that's why they're in the situation they're in.
Yeah. G a Miami fan too, so he didn't care if he played or not.
Wade looked good the other night though, man.
Yeah.
He turned it back.
Wade County. All right, last one before we go to break. Candace Parker pays Sheldon Williams, the landlord, $400K for alimony.
Stop. Wow.
And, of course, they divorced. But in the divorce decree, and Sheldon Williams made $12 million in his NBA career, obviously she has made more.
He only made $12 million for his whole career?
Yeah.
After being the third pick in the draft? And he only made $12
million. $12 million.
He don't deserve her money.
He doesn't.
He doesn't.
Yeah, it's hard for me to respect the guy that's going to take money from his ex-wife.
It's one check, though. It's not per month.
I guess that's the only good thing. It's a one-time
deal. One-time deal.
That's a lot, though.
Yeah.
One time a year?
No, this is it. Once you write the check, I'm done with you. We ain't got to talk no more unless we talking about the little one.
DiCarlo said it's tax-free.
Wow.
Wow.
$400K.
She must have done something.
Yeah.
She had to have done something to where she's paying the alimony.
$400K for peace of mind, though. And she's still rich. I guess it'd be all right.
Well, I guess the new picture she had on ESPN when she took with
ESPN
the ball.
ESPN magazine?
Yeah.
You know, did it?
That probably got her some money to make up for it. You know.
And he was the third pick.
Third pick.
Who was that? Must have been a bad draft.
I think it was like the fifth pick.
Was it fifth?
But still, that was the
3-5.
He was a lottery pick.
That was the one with Bargnani and Rudy Aldridge and Tyrus Thomas.
Was Brandon
Adam
Roy
Morrison
in the draft?
I think Adam Morrison was Brandon Roy was taken right after Sheldon Williams.
Yeah. Wow. All right, man. Let's go to break real quick. Come back. Second hour, we got our roundtable discussion. We're gonna break down some of this NBA playoffs. You listen to Sports Roundtable, the SRT crew on the Real 1100.
Keep those ears locked to Sports Roundtable on the Real 1100 AM.
You are tuned into WWE Peakville AM 1100.
The opinions expressed during the sponsored programs on this station are strictly those of the program hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of Beasley Broadcast Group, this station, its staff, other advertisers, or agencies.
Basketball season is already underway, and even though you're playing, you want to take your game to the next level. That's where the Bo Bell Basketball Academy comes in. For boys and girls ages 6 and up, Atlanta's own Bo Bell has played and coached basketball all around the world and is here to share his philosophies to help any player maximize their potential. Visit CoachBoBell.com for details about upcoming camps or call 770-912-4104 for more information. Bo Bell Basketball Academy. Maximize your true potential. potential.
There's a lot going on in the world, and your world is always changing. That's why it's important to stay connected. The latest news, the latest entertainment, the newest music. If it's in the air or on the air, it can be in the palm of your hand, wherever you are, with the iHeartRadio app.
iHeartRadio.
Over 1,500 live radio stations from across the country, and over 15 million songs to create your own custom stations. Text IHR to 45495 to download the app or listen at iHeartRadio.com. Standard text and data rates apply.
Hi, this is Coach Bo Bell from Bo Bell Basketball Academy. When I get my basketball or my sports fix, I listen to the SRT crew on the Real 1100 and the SRTRadio.com. Go get it.
We know you can't get enough of WWE, The Real 1100 AM. The Real.
Uh-oh, Breezy.
Yeah.
Looks like they back for a fifth season, man.
Who that?
Sports Roundtable.
Who?
S-R-T.
Yeah.
Crew.
Whoa.
SRT, they got that realness flowing in they DNA. Damn you lame, if you ain't, tune to SRT today. H.O. got that payload when he say so, what you betting on? Don't get mad at me on fantasy, break up Kyrie LeBron. I be smooth as sports superhero, Hancock in the mix. Deal with roll tie forever, real talk, you know who he gon' pick. See where I be with SRT, behind the glass, that G-Money. They with a strong, I never lose, six man elite, that's Jay Smooth.
All you other sports radio shows is fake news. Believe it. Turn up your radios, cause it's time for SRT Radio.
Yeah.
What up, what up, what up? We're back. Sports Roundtable, second hour of the show. Thanks for tuning in. If you want to give us a call, please give us a call, 404-603-8770. First hour of the show, we gave out our SRT Tenet NBA Awards, call the tenants. We also just had a good laugh of Candace Parker paying Sheldon Williams $400K for alimony. Wow, that's tough there. We had some hot news. We also had some other news that we talked about. But it's the second hour of the show, and please make sure you follow us on Facebook, SRT Sports Talk Radio. And you can use the same hashtag for our YouTube page. And make sure you follow us on social media at SRT Radio as well. But now it's time to get into our discussion of the night. And it's going to be NBA playoffs, NBA coaching carousel, and the best undrafted NFL player. So with that being said, G, let's go ahead and jump into this roundtable discussion.
The Roundtable Discussion.
What are we talking about?
Hit it!
Sports Roundtable Discussion, sponsored by our guy, Bo Bell. Bo Bell Basketball, if you have or in need of some basketball improvement, please go to BoBellBasketball.com, Bo Bell Academy. Now he is have a traveling team out in Suwannee. So you can go visit that as well. Bo Bell Basketball, where feet work is the key. All right, fellas, let's start off with the coaching. Let me give you an update on the game. Cavs up 11, 55-44 with 58 seconds left. Coaching carousel. Milwaukee, New York, Phoenix, and Charlotte. All right, Jerry Stackhouse's name has been hot. Did they say Mike Woodson will go interview for that New York job again?
Yep.
Yeah. Mark Jackson, David Fizdale, Stackhouse I mentioned. Who else is one of those candidates? But either way, Doc Rivers, who do y'all think gets the New York job?
Oh, man. When it first came open, I was thinking maybe either Van Gundy or Mark Jackson, but they haven't even interviewed Van Gundy.
So. I think he declined, right?
No, he hadn't declined. They just hadn't. They didn't reach out.
Okay.
From what I read.
I think Van Gundy and Mark Jackson are like the John Gruden of the NBA, to where we're going to hear about their name with every open coaching job, right, and they're not going to take it.
Yeah, I there's so much baggage that I read up on today about Mark Jackson. There are things that might deter the Knicks from even pursuing him. You know, and it's to do a lot of things with his beliefs, his religion, and there was some payoffs and other things to certain individuals and everything that went along with what went on with Golden State. You know, he is publicly said that he wouldn't have gays in his locker room, so that's a negative also in this politically correct world. You just can't say things like that.
Right.
You know, your beliefs are your beliefs, but when you start to espouse them and put them out,
yeah,
and they affect other people, it's going to be a problem. So, you know, I don't know. You know, I just don't know if everything that goes along with him being, he's a minister also, so, you know, whether that takes away from his time that he does as coaches, you know, it's a lot there. So I do think, and I give a lot of credit to him for what he did with Golden State,
right?
You know, because he laid the foundation for what they became. So, you know, he's not a real big analytics guy, which is the norm now in the NBA. You have to take this many threes or whatever. So, you know, I just don't know if that's going to be a fit for him. David Fizdale to me is the hottest coach out there right now.
Right.
Whether he takes the Knicks job or soon to be open Hawks job.
Yeah.
Something like that. He's one you might look at. There's some assistants. It's Ettore Messina, is supposed to be a hot assistant. One of the Spurs assistant. Yeah. So, I mean, you know, and like you said, Stackhouse is getting a lot of acclaim.
A lot of names. Yeah, so, a lot of attention.
You know, we'll see on that. Steve Clifford, former Hornet
coach.
So, there's some names out there. We'll see. I'm sure Vogel even.
He's interviewing for Phoenix as well.
I think so.
Yeah. All right, G, what you had to say?
I feel like it's a done deal, even though I haven't read anything about it, because the owner of the Charlotte Hornets went to North Carolina. The GM he hired went to North Carolina.
Right.
The coach that is available that went to North Carolina is Jerry Stackhouse. So I feel like Stackhouse is going to be the coach of the Charlotte Hornets, purely based on the connection. North Carolina.
Right. And I think he's from North Carolina too, right?
Yes, he is.
Yeah. So. Smooth, what do you think about the New York job or any job that's open as far as the Milwaukee job, the Suns, the Hornets? I guess G just summed up the Hornets job and the New York job.
I think the Knicks job is Mike Woodson to be had. He's openly lobbied for the job.
Again?
You know?
Wasn't he there then?
Yeah, he was there in the past there with Carmelo and
said he wanna finish where he started.
Right. And they actually made the playoffs during his time there. He had a lot of success with the Hawks. They made the playoffs while he was here. He's probably maybe the most proven guy in the coaching carousel. He's had success. He's familiar with the Knicks organization. What's his name? James Dolan, the owner of the Knicks.
Mm-hmm.
He probably knows how to deal with him in some way. So that might be the Knicks' best fit. I mean, you could go and try a guy like David Fizdale, and I even hear David Blatt. They've also interviewed him. The Suns, I think Budenholzer, the current Hawks coach, I think that's a done deal. I agree with G on the Stackhouse deal to the Hornets. And the Orlando Magic, I think whoever you bring in, somebody has to be completely patient, because they've been in a rebuild since Dwight Howard left. And that was what? Six years ago. So, whoever they bring in, I think it has to be a guy that they don't mind paying little to nothing. And I think maybe the Spurs assistant that you mentioned, Hancock, Ettore Messina. Ideally, he might be a good fit there. And some of these old retread coaches, like I don't want to see Mark Jackson, Jeff Van Gundy. Jay Wright is still out there. I don't know if he'll leave Villanova, but I would like to see somebody at least interview him. Who knows? I mean,
do we think well, what's going on in Michigan State? Do you think Izzo gets a?
Well, you know, his name was bandied about here back in the day,
right,
in Atlanta. So, with all the turmoil and everything that's going on out there, that's a possibility.
It is. You know, I mean, I would about, think
that
yeah.
is a possibility.
I mean, this would have been cool 8 years ago with Tom Izzo,
right,
where he almost went to the Cavs. And that, I don't know if that was a reason LeBron left, but he was a rumored hire then. It's very strange to hear these college coaches to be like in these NBA rumors, and they've never coached at that level before. I would understand if they had coached at that level before, but I think Tom Izzo, if he gets hired by an NBA team, it's going to be a disaster. Jay Wright will be making a mistake by going to the NBA. They stay where they are, and it's just because Jay Wright has this recent success, like in the last 3 years. Oh, he should go to the NBA now.
Right.
That's not how coaching works.
Yeah, I can understand what you say. I think that, to me, what has happened is that the college game has started to mirror the NBA with so much three-point shooting. His offense actually is a pro-style offense, the way he runs Jay Wright.
Right.
The way they shoot the ball.
Oh, absolutely.
The floor.
Right.
So I could see him making that transition because he's running pro system pretty much.
He was too early. Yeah. With the Randy Foy, mm-hmm. What's the
Kyle
other two?
Lowry.
Kyle Lowry.
Allen Ray.
Yeah, yeah, see, he was
so
too early.
He was running small ball then with exactly. a 3-yard attack and whatever. So I could see him, you know, he got 2 national championships. He can always go back to college. You know, yeah. Like you say, he's in a perfect situation where he is. He's a toast of the town, never had to buy another meal in Philadelphia at all.
Right.
So, I mean, I could see him staying there, but money talk. If somebody going to pay him,
yeah, because he's the 24th highest paid college coach. Yeah,
I guess.
Yeah.
And I don't think, I don't know what, is Villanova really, I mean, what are they, a Catholic?
They're a Catholic
school.
Most of the schools in the Big East are.
Yeah. Make a call to the Vatican.
Right, right. And this might be a stretch, and I'm just going to throw the name out there. Kobe Bryant. You know, he has a new show called, what was it,
Details.
I mean, great players normally don't make great coaches. And, I mean, he seems to be sort of he could be a taskmaster and on the court. And I don't know if it will work or not. But, I mean, the guy knows the game. He's laughing. But, who knows? I mean, we've seen ex-players go on but Kobe, he's probably made so much money.
Yeah, I think Kobe's more into the documentaries.
Yeah,
film
and entertainment. Go ahead, G.
This is how Kobe would coach, okay? Why can't you do it like me? That's Kobe coaching right there.
Yep.
Hey, just a little tidbit in my opinion on why the Hawks and Budenholzer split has come to this point. Think about this. You brought a San Antonio guy in to coach. Mm-hmm. Then you bring a Golden State guy in to be the GM. How does that mix? I mean, they don't really mix well. You know, when you think about it.
They've both been successful, but the philosophies are different.
Yeah. So the way Schlink had built Golden State, because Bud was trying to build it the way he learned from Pops, because he was with Pops over 20 years, right?
I think it was like 15
years. 15 years. So his philosophy for that is obviously going to bump heads with Travis Schlink. So I think that's the real reason, in my opinion, that the two philosophies just don't mesh.
Yeah. That's a good point. I also think that, I think that with the Hawks upgrading this facility, the old Omni, Phillips Arena, with what they're doing and trying to get more of a flavor, more of a hip-hop feel, I think they want somebody that's going to add some flair. Because in this town, that's what sells. You got to have something that excites people.
That's Fizdale.
And Fizdale may excite people.
And he's a former Hawks coach.
Yeah, so that's the thing I'm thinking.
Assistant
I think they
coach,
want
sorry.
They really want to build something exciting. And so that also means you got to go find some players.
shouldn't that be more of an emphasis on getting like the players that can bring in the fans?
Yeah, but Budenholzer,
like trying to, they really haven't had that star,
right,
since Dominique, really.
Exactly, and that goes to my point where, right, I was telling Harris what I think I would do. But I think what I'm saying about a fresh blood, when you look at Budenholzer, even the way he speaks just grinds on you. You know, he just doesn't he doesn't pop for Atlanta. I mean, right, it's just not there. So, like you said, OG, I do think getting a star player, a star caliber player in here would help even more, which is what we're going to talk about pretty soon, right?
Yeah, yeah. All right, let's jump into these. We'll go jump into these NBA playoffs, and we go start in the Eastern Conference. Washington Wizards, the Raptors, and now you can jump all over your point. Game one, the Raptors won 114-106. And in game two, it was much of the same, 130-119. Both home victories, 37-point effort from DeRozan. Your thoughts on the series so far, Hancock?
It's going downhill fast. It's heading towards sweep. Washington's time to blow it up. You know, these young guys they had, they tried to build with them with, had to have Paul Pierce come in as their veteran to try to make them into a good franchise, but that didn't work out. You know, I think it's just some headstrong things. Some players just don't play well together, and I think Wall and Bill, which are the two cornerstones you have, they just do not fit. It doesn't mesh. So I think that thing is going to have to be broke up, which kind of leads me into my point about the Hawks. If I'm the Hawks, I'm going to target Bradley Beal. I would put together some type of package, whether I had to bring in a third team or whatever, try to get Bazemore into the deal with some of those picks. You got a bunch of picks, and try to maneuver my way to get a Bradley Beal.
But John Wall knows all the dances.
Yeah, and he can do them up there in Washington every time. But I would want that two guard, the caliber of a Bradley Beal here. Even though Wall is the one that's balling, Beal had a horrible game last night.
Right.
But I just think if you bring Bradley Beal in here and put some good pieces around him, he could start this thing in the right direction. But as far as getting back to the playoffs with Washington, I think maybe five games, but I'm really leaning toward a sweep with that one. I think Toronto just has too much. The bench is – their bench, when they go to the bench and Washington goes to the benches, they're just being outclassed. Washington probably put up a big fight in this first game back home, but I really don't see much of a series in this one.
Okay. Smooth. Boston gets an overtime victory at home against the Bucks, 113-107 in game one. Then they just kind of blitzed them in game two, 120-106, thanks to Jaylen Brown's 30-point performance. Your thoughts on how Boston been playing and your thoughts just on that series?
First off, congrats to Brad Stevens. What he's done without maybe, a top 10 player in the NBA? Marcus Smart, Kyrie Irving, the top 10 player. Marcus Smart, another guy who gives you a lot on both ends. He's not the most stellar player, but when he's out there, he is effective. Brad Stevens has managed to get the most out of a guy like Al Horford, who I'm not high on at all. Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum, Tatum didn't play well this last game, but in the first game he was pretty decent. But Jaylen Brown, you know, he looks like pretty much a star, in my opinion. He even makes you wonder why you bring in a guy like Gordon Hayward, if you ask me. But the Celtics, they've completely outplayed the Bucks and I won't say every imaginable way, but they've been the more aggressive, the more physical team. They've outsmarted Milwaukee. I think on paper, they're the most talented team. Antetokounmpo, Middleton, Bledsoe, who doesn't know who Terry Rozier is, but I'm sure.
I think he knows now.
Right. He should know now. But Milwaukee, it seems as if the loss of Jason Kidd, they still haven't been able to recover from that. They played well. I thought they would have been one of those teams who could have upset Boston in the first round, considering the wealth of talent that they have. But it just hasn't happened. And, you know, like the old adage or the old saying, a series doesn't start until the home team loses.
Right.
So I don't want to jump ahead of myself because the games, they've been somewhat close. Well, they lost by 14. I'm sorry. They haven't been close. But we'll see what happens once the series gets back to Milwaukee. I strongly believe in the Greek Freak and his talent.
But you touched on it, though.
Yeah.
You touched on it. It's coaching. Yeah. I think you could switch coaches, and Brad Stevens might beat Boston.
Yeah.
I just don't think that Prunty is he doesn't know what he's doing.
Yeah.
His rotations are bad. He doesn't know who to play. And another thing that I heard, and I'm sorry I cut you off. Another thing I heard was that there's a little jealousy between Jabari and Antetokounmpo. I read that today.
I told you that. Well, but go ahead, G. I'm going to let you finish, but I'm going to get to your point.
Yeah. Well, the thing is also with Boston playing with, they don't have their stars, but they're still the number two seed. So Stevens has them playing with confidence, and they had a better record on the road than at home this year. So as far as like, the role players play better at home. They actually play pretty well on the road. So this could be a surprising sweep, but it shouldn't be that surprising.
Go ahead, Smooth. Finish your point real quick.
Well, I mean, you guys hit on the head. I mean, if the coaching has been the difference, but I just feel that Milwaukee has enough talent to overcome.
Middleton.
Exactly what they're going through right now.
But Bledsoe has to show up.
He does. And at first he has to acknowledge that he knows who Terry Rozier is.
That means he wasn't paying attention in the film session at all.
He wasn't. Because, I mean, he's torched him. And Eric Bledsoe has been completely lost defensively. So he needs to wise up and figure out what he's doing.
Exactly. I had said a couple of weeks ago that the Hawks could try to tug on the Jabari Parker deal because I figured once he came back, you will have to clearly say to the Greek Freak, this is your team.
Exactly.
And you don't have to pay him a lot of money because the injury says that you don't have to. So he can be a piece that you can pay a small amount of money to and try to get into a Hawks uniform and things of that nature. So That's one added to fixing the Hawks to your Bradley Beal case, you know, and things of that nature. So just another option that we can talk about. Now let's talk about G-Money's Miami Heat and Hancock 76ers. G, we're going to start with you. Your thoughts on the series right now is 1-1. And Embiid said that he wants to play, but he's doubtful for game 3 as of right now.
Well, it's interesting that the player that I thought would have an impact with Embiid not being in there has really not been a factor at all, and that's Whiteside. You're going to get one out of four games, it seems like, since Wade came back, he has one of these games.
Right.
So we might not get another one until game 5. but it might be, you know, at a point where they need it. Miami is still dependent there. They have to rely on their defense. But what is been historically under Eric Spoelstra is if the other team is making their threes, Miami's in trouble. Even when they had LeBron.
Right.
If the other team's making their threes, Miami's in trouble. But in the first game, I think Philly was 18-28 from three.
Right.
Game 2, 7-36.
Right.
So if you're missing your threes, if Miami's getting the rebound, getting out on the break, that's when they're at their best.
Mm-hmm.
So they took advantage of that in game 2.
All right, Han.
What you were saying about Whiteside not being able to play is because of the lineups that Philly is doing. Bringing Ilyasova in allows them to stretch the floor. And it makes Whiteside just obsolete. He can't play in that pace.
Right.
Now, when Embiid comes back, that'll maybe get him back on the floor. But playing the way they play, Philly is at the fastest pace in the NBA right now. And the reason is because there's no bad shot. If you can see the rim, they want you to shoot it. And Bellinelli is on glow right now.
Right.
No matter where he is, he's going to shoot it. So, like I said, the way they're playing, the up-tempo, the fast pace, and just the movement won't allow for Whiteside to be into the game.
Yeah, he's not very good against the pick and roll.
Horrible.
he's pretty bad. and then with Bellinelli, it seems like if he catches it, wherever he is, he's gonna shoot it.
Yes,
and
sir.
He's like falling down.
It doesn't matter.
But
it's going
it goes
up.
In.
Yeah, he and Ilyasova, they just have the green light. So if they're going in, they're gonna be hard to beat because that's what they do. Spread the floor. They allow Simmons to come out, and he's just like a light towel. He's just looking for open shots.
Right. All right, Ham, we're going to throw it back to you. The Cavs and the Pacers, Jay Smoove gave us his thoughts on that earlier. Get your thoughts on this series and how it's gone. And actually, the update is 63-50. Is that correct?
Right.
Okay.
Yeah, the Cavs came out with more intensity in this particular game. They had it up to right at a 20-point lead early. Mm-hmm. Indiana's fought back. The first game was a tale of who could make the three. If you looked at it, Indiana was 11 out of 28 from three, and the Cavs shot 34 three-pointers, only making eight, you know, for 24% from the three-point line. And that's the key in this league right now. You know, you always hear it's a make-or-miss league. And being that the Cavs have to make shots because their defense is the worst in the NBA right now. They just can't defend. They're doing a better job tonight when I've been glancing back in, contesting and closing down the lane. But, you know, for the last part of the year, I don't think Ty Lue even knew who was going to be available, who was going to be playing. So they're kind of like just trying to find chemistry and trying to find combinations to play. So we'll see. I think Indiana gives them a problem because they have a team that can continue to score. Mm-hmm. As long as and they have a guy that can get his in Oladipo. So if they can continue to do that, it's going to make it hard for Cleveland because they don't defend well. This was a must-win game for Cleveland tonight. That's mm-hmm. why they came out with such intensity. If Indiana can get it close, they might have a shot in the four. But Cleveland has to have this one tonight.
All right, G.
I think right now it's a 16-point lead. Right. I think part of it is LeBron has 31 right now, yep. So he's definitely been more aggressive. Yeah. And on Indiana's side, Oladipo has been in foul trouble.
Exactly. Yep. And that's courtesy of the NBA leveling the playing field. And they do it all the time. They take teams out of what they do. Yep. By putting him on the bench, you limit it. Now watch, when he goes back to Indiana, that won't happen.
Yep.
Wow.
Draymond Green.
Exactly.
All right, Smoove, let's switch it to the West. Game one, OKC. I'm sorry. Who did they play?
Ooh, OKC.
I'm sorry. The Blazers and the Pelicans. Pelicans has come in and took two home games away from Dame Lillard and the Trailblazers here, and it doesn't even look close other than the first game. But your thoughts on the Pelicans and this series and them taking a 2-0 lead on doing it on the road?
Portland is exactly who I thought they were. The entire year, I was never high on Portland. I always thought they were a bit overrated. The standings didn't suggest that they were overrated because they finished third seed.
Right.
But Drew Holiday has been amazing. He's completely negated Damian Lillard. Damian Lillard hasn't been able to roam with a certain freedom that he's used to playing with. He's used to pretty much getting anything he wants. But Drew Holiday has been, you know, as his own coach called him, like one of the maybe the best two-way player in the league. Those were Alvin Gentry's words.
Right.
But Rajon Rondo, his playoff experience.
Rondo.
Yeah, this is a guy who's won a championship. I mean, that, as a backcourt, Rajon Rondo and Drew Holiday have completely outplayed McCollum and Damian Lillard. And you can't forget about Anthony Davis, who's, you know, a talent within himself, another, you know, top three, top five player. You know what to expect from him. But the biggest difference has been the backcourt. The Pelicans have won that battle, and it looks like they're going to continue to win it. I expect Portland to be done in five games.
Yep.
I wanted to add that part of that, like, Drew Holiday, like, the putting him at the two guard to play with Rondo and let him be a scorer.
Yep.
has totally changed how the Pelicans play, right, especially after losing Cousins.
That's the biggest key.
Yeah. And let Rondo do what he does. He's probably only score like 6 to 12 points, but he'll have like 15 assists,
yep,
or 15 rebounds or something like that. And I agree with you about Portland as far as like, yeah, the record shows that they're good, but there are a lot of games where Lillard shoots, he shot 7 for 18 last night. He has a lot of games like that, 9 for 23 or something like that. And McCollum will have those games too. So it's like, if they can't get it going, Portland struggles, because who is that third guy?
Right. They're trying to get it out of the rookie out of Gonzaga. He was Collins. He's coming on. Next couple of years, he's going to be a nice player. But getting back to what Portland, to me, they just don't have guards that affect the game without scoring. And this is one point where I was telling Horace, I was watching McCollum last night go off, and he went for like 8 straight points. But in the midst of doing that, Dame might as well be sitting on the bench. You know, he doesn't affect the game in a different way at all. He doesn't allow or help anybody else get off. And when you watch Rondo and Jrue Holiday, Jrue was scoring, but Rondo was still affecting the game by helping Jrue get his easier looks, or by defending, get his hand on balls, deflecting, doing something that affected the game. And it might even be time to split up that Portland backcourt, because all they can do is score. You know, they don't help each other. I think if one of them was there in a little lesser role, maybe it'll help. Right, just like what happened with Anthony Davis. Anthony Davis is like a flower that got put in the sun now. You know, he had to share the limelight so much with Boogie. It was like, okay, Boogie, you go get yours and I'll chill for a minute. Then I get mine and you chill. But when Boogie went out, they took off, because the pecking order became clear. AD, Jrue, and then the rest of you guys. Right. And the addition of Mirotić being able to stretch the floor,
yes,
with that added length that he has is just it just made everything come together.
And
so,
that's and with that, like, Boogie tried to be that guy that Mirotić is, because he does stretch the floor somewhat. But where he's most effective is inside rebounding. He is a shot blocker. But with him out and Mirotić clearly having a role, that's where he's going to be on the floor.
Right.
That's where the success
comes
from.
And it even allows Anthony Davis, it switches when he switches. This is why I had him as my defensive player of the year, is because he can go out and defend on the perimeter also. He'll take a 2. He'll sometimes switch to a 1. And with that added length, it's hard to even get the ball into the post with his arms or whatever. Then he can come back in and defend in the post and get you 12, 15 rebounds. So block shots, steals, deflections, to me, he was mine. That's why I had him as my defensive player of the year, because he defends at different levels of the game.
Right.
But I just think that getting Boogie out of there just allowed him. Think about it. If you would have had his name even higher in the MVP running, because when Boogie went out, I think his numbers went up to 30 a game.
Yeah.
Something like that. Yeah. All right, real quick. OKC and the Jazz. OKC won the first game 116-108, and I think the game is tied now at 22. And they are playing at OKC.
Dead OKC.
Yeah, so your thoughts on that real quick, Han?
I think OKC is probably going to win, but I think it's due to the experience.
Right.
Utah has played well. It's going to play well, and I think this is going to be a good experience thing for them in the coming years. I was hoping Mitchell wasn't hurt real bad from the – he had some kind of contusion on his baby toe or something like that, got stepped on. The moment wasn't too big. He came out and balled out in his first game. So I don't know what he's doing right now, but to see him come out and still be that guy that we saw in the regular season was big. I think what I saw with the Oklahoma City thing is to see Paul George, to me, will be gone after this year. Because when Russell went to the bench in that game, he went off for like 9 straight baskets, looked like.
Yeah.
Because he gets this bad rap saying, well, he's not a superstar, but because of what happened at the end in Indiana or whatever, but you can see when he asserts himself and the way he can shoot the ball now, Because I don't think Deshaun was as good as it is now. Maybe I think being off that time with that knee, he worked on that even more. Because his jumper now is ridiculous when he's hot, when he's shooting it now.
Yeah.
So I think he'll be in L.A. next year, though. So we'll see.
You his lawyer.
if need be. If need be.
All right, Smooth, what you think about that series?
I think the guy who's probably going to end up being the defensive player of the year, Rudy Gobert, I think he has to affect the game from what we normally expect from him. I think when guys like Russell Westbrook, Paul George, when they do get to the cup, the rim, he has to alter those shots. He has to change them in a way. And you needed a guy other than Donovan Mitchell. I mean, they had maybe six other guys in double figures, but Ingles, Ricky Rubio, Jay Crowder. I mean, none of these guys really scare you. So if Donovan Mitchell doesn't play, I don't know if he's expected to play tonight or not.
He's playing tonight.
Yeah, he's playing?
Okay. Mm-hmm. So good. At least they have a fighting chance. But I think this series is going to be over pretty quick in the next four or five games.
All right. Golden State up 2-0. And they just basically, I mean, it's like a whitewash against the Spurs. Are we looking at a sweep at this point?
We got to be.
Yeah.
As much as the Spurs are going to put up a fight, they just don't have the firepower.
Yeah.
Aldridge, his game does not. You can give him all the points he wants, because I think he had 34 in game two, and it didn't matter.
Right.
They don't have the players that the players that we have known for so long that would be effective for him, Ginobili and Parker.
They out of gas.
Yeah.
So we're looking at Deontay Murray right now.
Right.
And Kyle Anderson.
Patty Mills.
And Bryn Forbes. So we're basically looking at a young team with old veterans, and the old veterans are not coming to save them.
Yep, I agree. Yeah. All right, Hans.
Tim Duncan's not walking through that door.
Exactly. And then how many layers did he miss in the playoffs, though? But anyway, the Timberwolves-Rockets played tonight at 9:30. Houston escaped a 104-101 victory versus the Timberwolves. Your thoughts on the series and what you expect to see tonight?
They're going to have to defend the three, but the key to that game was Capella killed him. And Cat has to offset that.
Got to get him the ball.
He's got it, but he's got to do better than 8 points. When he was on the floor, they were at -1. And, you know, and that just can't happen.
Can't happen.
You know, he has to offset what Capella does and keep him off the board. So I think Jimmy Butler, you don't expect him to be what Harden is, but you – as long as he can score his 25, whatever, he has to kind of offset Harden scoring. And I don't know, Chris Paul almost gave the game away. You know, he was pretty bad in this game.
He was pretty bad.
Yeah, so he was a -4 in the game as far as plus minus. So, you know, looking at it, Minnesota's going to have a chance. This will be a key game. I don't think they can afford to be blown out, because that sets the tempo and sets the tone. If they go in there again and it comes down to the end and they play, I think we'll have a good series.
All right, Smooth. Houston switches everything. And Cat has a mismatch, but they hadn't thrown the ball yet. So your thoughts on this series and what you expect tonight, or what should the Timberwolves do to try to offset that switching everything from Houston?
Me, it all depends on Tom Thibodeau's ability to put them in better situations. And I agree. Hancock said it. Cat has to be better.
Right.
And I think there were a couple times in the game where they found he was on – Chris Paul was guarding him, and smaller players were guarding him. And, you know, either he didn't get the ball or was thrown back out. So I think that has to change. Andrew Wiggins, what's happening with him? Is he going to show up? Jeff T. I mean, I don't know. I'm kind of out of excuses for Minnesota. They have plenty of talent, but I think Tom Thibodeau, you're going to have to show us how good of a coach you can be. Like, you have a few days between games. You need to make the necessary changes to get a win, because if
they play tonight.
They play tonight.
Yeah, they play tonight, 9:30.
Yeah, if they don't win in about an hour or so,
Can't be a blowout. It can't be a blowout.
It can't be. They might get swept.
They say Thibodeau on Facebook, they say he need to apply for a defensive coach job in the NFL.
That's what
something.
I said, DC. That's, I told you.
Oh, my God. All right, man. Let's go wrap up this NBA breakdown. We're going to take a quick one-minute break. When we get back, we go get it off your chest. Stay with us. Stay locked. You listen to Sports Roundtable, SRTRadio.com on The Real 1100.
We'll be back with more Sports Roundtable on The Real 1100 AM. Have you been looking for a radio station that gives you sports?
I don't believe it! Oh. It's a touchdown!
Entertainment?
Are you not entertained?
And other special interest talk shows?
Well, isn't that special?
All on one app?
Yo, that's dope. What app is that?
It's The Real 1100 AM app for WWE. Grab it for free in your Google Play or Apple App Store today.
What up, though? What up, though? It's your boy, Tate's Take. Of course, none other than Deshaun Tate. I go by the Sports Debate Slayer and the Bracket Master. Hey, SRT, man. It gets no realer than this right here at The Real 1100 AM. My boy, D. Will, the coach, G. Money, H.O., Hancock. Make sure you stay right here. Locked in, The Real 1100 AM, SRT, keeping it real funky.
Do you have something that you want to say? Well, then it's time to...
Say it with your chest!
We're back. Sports Roundtable. Wrapping things up and we're in our segment. Getting it off your chest and I'm going to start this thing off real nice and pleasant because what has happened... We were supposed to do another segment, but I got so much to get out of my chest that we just had to do this. So, this is what I got to get out of my chest. My city that I was born in, snake bit. Let's start off with the fact that NBA, NFL, Major League Baseball, and the hockey are combined for 171 seasons. One championship. I'm going to say that one more time. Hockey, Major League Baseball, NBA, and the NFL for our franchises here in Atlanta have combined for 171 seasons, one championship, 95, the Atlanta Braves. This is a city where you have ran two hockey teams out of town. Calgary and Winnipeg. Sad that I still even know that.
Yeah.
This is the same city that you pray to get to the Super Bowl, and you make history in the Super Bowl by losing the biggest lead ever. This is a city where you have the most iconic basketball player in the era that we were in, and you trade him. This is the same city that your Major League Baseball team wins 14 straight titles. 14. One World Series.
One win in the World Series.
This is the same city where athletes, superstars want to live. But they don't want to play. Mm. This is the same city that two guys that we know will be drafted in the top 20 in the NBA draft. And they didn't even go to school in the city for college. The same city that we hadn't even won a college or a college championship since we shared one with
Nebraska.
With Colorado.
Colorado.
I'm sorry. With Colorado.
Georgia Tech. And Georgia won one in 80. The same city that had Stan Kasten, Pete Babcock, Billy Knight, Rick Sun as a GM for the Hawks. And when you get the GM that turned around the city with a 60-point win, he get phased out with a quote. Snake bit. The city that if you got a reality TV show, you win it. So my whole point to this is sports wise, we are snake bit. If the reality TV shows was a sport, we'll be in the championship every year.
Wow.
Said it with your chest, big homie.
I did. That's sad. Yeah. My city is snake bit. Anybody else got something they want to get off their chest?
Yeah, what I want to get off my chest is these sports, football and basketball, okay? What I want to get off my chest about that is football was just dogged out. The ratings went down supposedly because of the kneeling. And that just, they changed the narrative of what this whole protest was about to dog whatever NFL players were doing. Now, in the same token, the NBA, which is more outspoken than the NFL, you had the team that won the whole thing last year, Golden State, refused to go to the White House and be, you know, celebrated honored. You have one of the iconic basketball coaches in Popovich who comes right out and talks about how bad Trump is. You have the face of the league in LeBron James who goes back and forth with it. The two-time MVP, Steph Curry, has beef with the president. All these things being said, and the NBA's ratings were up 15% from last year. Even with all this that goes on and the pushback that they give. But the thing is that they have more than blacks that voice their opinion about the situation. So the narrative doesn't get clouded.
Right.
So I'm getting this off my chest to say, people, wake up and understand that they divide the message to conquer what we're trying to accomplish or what's trying to be accomplished.
Spoken well. Anybody else? Good, G. You hope Miami win, huh? That's all you want to get off your chest. I feel you. Yeah, all right, real quick before we get up out of here. NFL undrafted. Your best undrafted guy. And I'm going to, you know what tilted my this for me? Starbucks.
Starbucks?
Starbucks tilted this for me. Warren Moon. Undrafted. 1978, maybe I'm telling my age.
That's a good one. Right in my face, and I didn't think of that. That's a good one.
Maybe I'm telling my age, but thanks to Starbucks, Warren Moon is my best undrafted NFL player. And he went on to win 5 Grey Cups and is the first black person in the NFL Well, not the first, but I would like to say that. But Warren Moon had a great career. Five Grey Cups and ranks in the top 10 in passing and things of that nature.
I think he over that. He was when he left the game, he was number one in yards.
See, he was the top five, top one or two in passing yards, right?
Warren Moon.
Yeah.
I think if you count the Grey Cup yards.
Grey Cup, yeah, okay, yeah. There Canadian we go. League. Yeah, that's what I think. But to be undrafted and go into the Hall of Fame as a black quarterback, hey, can't knock that.
My undrafted free agent is Everson Walls.
Oh!
Dallas Cowboys, Grambling State. I don't know if he graduated, but played for Eddie Rob. All that matters. So that's my guy, Everson Walls.
There you go. Yeah, I like old Everson. G, you got one?
Just because of the story, and I got to like watch football, Warren Moon was past his prime.
What did it say?
But Warren Moon is still cool. He's still cool with me. Hey,
right.
He's the only black quarterback still in the Hall of Fame.
Right.
So, but for me, it's Kurt Warner.
Bagging them groceries.
He's working in a grocery store, and then played in the Arena League.
Yeah.
And because of an unfortunate injury to Trent Green, he's the Cinderella man of the NFL. I don't know if anybody's story is going to beat that, to where he was bagging groceries, and then a couple years later, he's the Super Bowl MVP.
I agree. He might have the best story.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
I agree with that. Smooth, you got one?
Yeah, John Randall, defensive lineman.
Oh, that's a good one. Good one.
Texas A&M Kingsville. 14 seasons, 7 Pro Bowls, 6 All-Pro selections, and Hall of Famer.
Yeah.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
There it is. All right, man. We hope we gave y'all some great NFL undrafted players. We're about to get ready to get up out of here. And before we go, we definitely got to make sure you tune in. Forgotten Man Show on Friday. Me and Jay Smooth will be in studio from 6 to 7 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time with our host, DiCarlo. Trust me when I tell you it's going to be on fire in here Friday. So you're going to get another side of me and Jay Smooth when we talking about understanding your man. Please make sure you tune in Friday for that, because we go give you some tidbits on understanding what we really think, how we really think, and things of that nature. Make sure you tune in 6 to 7 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Shout out to all our tenants. Shout out to Facebook Live. Shout out to Jay Smooth. Shout out to the crew for doing their thing. Shout out to everybody who's tuned in. And can y'all please unsnake bite my city, because it is horrible. All right, Hand, real quick.
I ain't got nothing to say. Just appreciate the tennis and everybody.
There it is. All right, G.
Shout out to my mom and dad, and shout out to all the tenants who tuned in.
Tenants, the entire crew, H.O., Hancock, G, D, miss you.
You do well.
And we got a guest in the studio, DiCarlo. She's actually sitting in the back.
There it is.
Shout out to her, and thanks, tenants.
There you go. All right, man, with that being said, you already know how we do it. If you don't like it, you better learn to love it, because it's the hottest show going today. Hancock, let's roll.
Boogie! I'm headed home, baby.
Smooth.
This your main man, H.O. from Bankhead. R.I.P. Moms, R.I.P. B.C. And if you love the show,
tell a friend.
If you didn't,
I'm at a loss.
And we out. Peace.
If you're one of the millions of Americans who can't work because of a serious injury or illness, you may be eligible for disability benefits from Social Security. Receiving benefits is your right. It doesn't matter if you've applied before and the government has said no. Let the experienced attorneys at Bill Gordon & Associates help you get the Social Security disability you deserve. Their team of attorneys have been fighting for benefits for